Could we have an auto strike?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The contract between the big three car makers and the United Auto Workers expires tonight at midnight. The UAW has chosen GM as the lead company in the talks. That means the union might strike GM if no deal gets done. The UAW usually negotiates with the lead company and reaches a similar agreement with the other two. Lisa Roth tells us what's at stake here.
Right now, the big three pay about $10 billion a year in health care benefits. That price could rise as workers and retirees get older and health care gets more expensive. Eric Merkel is a consultant who works with the auto industry.
Quite honestly, there's going to have to be some sort of creative solution involved.
The most likely fix is a voluntary employee benefit association, or VEBA. It's a kind of trust fund to pay for those health benefits. It would let the carmakers take a big liability off their books and protect workers' health benefits if the employer were to go out of business. Merkel says negotiating such a deal is complicated.
It all depends on the terms and conditions by which the trust fund is set up, such as the amount of money that's placed in the trust fund.
And whether the UAW can ask the carmakers for more money later. There are other issues on the table as well, possible plant closures for one. The talks will probably go past the deadline, but nobody expects a strike. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
GM and Ford were actually big gainers on Wall Street yesterday. Overall, the Dow shot up 133 points to 13,424. The NASDAQ added 9 to 2601. The S&P 500 was up 12 to 1483. The Asian markets had solid gains today. Japan's Nikkei was up 2%. But European shares are down about 1% so far. Forget cyberspace. Google is now reaching for outer space. Google and the XPRIZE Foundation have announced a $30 million prize for someone to land a robotic rover on the moon. Jeff Tyler has more.
It's one small step for man.
And one giant leap for entrepreneurs. The challenge? To put a robot on the moon, get it to roam at least 500 meters across the lunar surface, and then send video back to Earth. It won't be easy, and it definitely won't be cheap. Brenton Alexander is with the XPRIZE Foundation.
We expect the teams will spend anywhere from $10 to $15 million all the way up to $50 million. The teams can then make money back by selling the intellectual property, selling the systems, selling services later, and so they start a business.
Brenton says there are other economic incentives, such as mineral resources on the moon. Ultimately, the prize founders hope private sector innovation will lead to cheaper methods for space exploration. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Getting a robot on the moon is a great feat, obviously. But does it compare to this? Today, British scientists said they've developed a chewing gum that can easily be removed from under your shoes and desks and pavement. Clean gum has a special polymer that makes it a lot less sticky. In street trials, regular gum remained stuck to the pavement 3 out of 4 times. Clean gum came off within 24 hours in each case. Could be launched commercially next year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. By the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems, working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over 1 billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
The National Football League has made its ruling against the New England Patriots for spying on opposing coaches. Coach Bill Belichick will be fined $500,000 for using video cameras to steal the other team's defensive signals. The team was fined $250,000, and the Patriots will most likely lose next year's first-round draft pick. Joining us is our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyad. Diana, how common do you think this kind of cheating is?
I think that this has been going on forever. The Texas-Arkansas coaches, you know, with their famous rivalry, evidently years later, they're riding on a plane together. They're both retired. And one says to the other, "Did you steal my defensive signals in 72? The other one says, did you steal my offensive signals in 61? They both said, I did. And they shook hands and forgot about it. It's like it's all benign. On the other hand, Brett Favre says, hey, listen, if this is going on, and the Patriots were semi-accused of doing the same thing to the Packers last year, Brett Favre says, are you kidding me? If they know our offensive, defensive signals, it's a big jump on us.
But the Patriots have an amazing collection of talent. Why do they need to do this?
Well, isn't that the big issue? You know, so many of the bloggers are writing the last couple of days. You know, why tarnish that squeaky clean, you know, almost iconic reputation? And I think, as I said before, I think it's just business as usual.
Okay, but if you look at this compared to other sports, are we suggesting that it's okay to cheat?
I think where the, you know, the delineation comes down is what is actually cheating. You know, take baseball. I mean, for years we've been talking about, you know, scratching up the baseball or, you know, spitting on the baseball, pine tar on the bat. But do we really look back at those particular people compared to what we're talking like with steroids and say, oh, what a bunch of cheaters? You know, and I think we can go all the way back to, you know, the Greeks, the ancient Greeks who used to crush the testosterone from the testes of bulls and drink it in teas. Now, they didn't have a particular rule against it at that time, but they were sure looking for every advantage they could get, and it will be forevermore.
Since we're talking about this on Marketplace, let's do a little cost-benefit analysis. When you weigh the penalties versus the benefit of cheating, do you think that it pays?
Well, I guess all we have to look at is Floyd Landis's bank account. He spent $4 million on his defense last year, and he's wound up being, if not technically yet, at least virtually stripped of his title and, you know, his fame and his good name. And was that worth it? And has it been worth it for the sport? I mean, look what it's cost the Tour de France, the television ratings and the public trust. And so when they're caught, boy, it sure isn't worth it.
All right, Diana, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.
Our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyett. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.